Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you to the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And sometimes we connect you to the places, special places, places that make our part of this nation so unique. The city of Colorado Springs, you see, is building a new Summit Visitor Center atop America's Mountain Pikes Peak that will welcome upwards of 1 million people each year who reach the summit by car, foot, bike, or even rail. It's a massive project that's been under construction for 3 years now, and it's anticipated to be opening this June. And something you may not know about this building is that it was purposefully designed to significantly reduce its impact on the fragile summit environment and aims to become the first building in the state to fully meet all the rigorous rules of the Living Building Challenge. We're going to be talking about that, what that really means. So joining us this morning with the information on the new Summit Visitor Center and sustainability on the summit of Pikes Peak, we're pleased to have with us Sandy Elliott, Operations Administrator of Pikes Peak, America's Mountain. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning. I appreciate you having me.
You bet. We also have Alan Reed, who's president of GWWO Architects out of Baltimore, Maryland. Alan, so glad you could be with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And then in partnership, you have done the work with RTA Architects of Colorado Springs, and we're pleased to have with us Mike Riggs, Associate Principal. Mike, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're going to be talking to Mike and Alan in just a few minutes. But first, I'd like to start with Sandy. Sandy, let's talk about, you know, just the general construction. Can you give us an update on where we stand?
Sure. We are, I believe, in 93 or 94% complete with the overall project. The building is looking phenomenal. I was up just a couple weeks ago. There's tile in place. We have the retail space is taking shape. Remember the number 28. There are 28 women's restrooms. So that was one of our big public feedback comments, was more restrooms for ladies. So we have done that. And then we have a lot of the site work going on. So getting ready to do all of the parking and asphalt and that kind of stuff. So a lot of progress every single day. It's coming along very quickly now. Each day you go up there, there's something else completed and something else done. So after 3 years, it's really taking shape. So,
and we should mention that, you know, it's not to show any preference for ladies' restrooms over the men's, but it's just that you don't want to spend all your time when you're on top of Pikes Peak waiting in line for the ladies' restroom. And certainly there were differences in the amount of time it took to cycle visitors through those. So this is really going to help. Okay, so let's talk about really one of the primary attractive components of this new construction project, the sustainability aspects of it. Tell us about some of those.
So Pikes Peak America's Mountain is, the building itself is going to be LEED, a minimum of LEED Silver certified. And LEED is probably one of the most well-known sustainability programs across the nation. What makes ours is a little bit more unique is we have decided to pursue the Living Building Challenge. And so the Living Building Challenge is a very rigorous and aggressive program. And it looks to have net zero energy, net zero waste, net positive water. There's a lot of challenges within that, right down to the types of materials that we use. So when we thought about the design of this building early on, we wanted to make sure that we were building a building that was not a 50-year building, but a 100-year building. We wanted something that was very sustainable, reducing our energy costs and our usage costs and making the experience for our guests more comfortable, especially in that harsh environment up on the summit.
Right, right. You travel most ways that you get there. I think all the ways that you get there, you have to travel through that environment. So you're surrounded by the natural beauty, and you certainly want a building that not only is going to represent that natural beauty by the time you get to the top, but also that I guess comes by it honestly. can have that badge of honor that the Living Building Challenge and LEED certification offers it. Why did you decide to pursue such a rigorous process? Because it's not easy.
No, it's definitely probably one of the most challenging aspects of the entire project. But in our discussions early on with the U.S. Forest Service, the design team, and the construction teams, it felt like it was time that we did our part. If we can do something this rigorous and this aggressive at 14,000 feet in such harsh climate and in difficult terrain and conditions, hopefully it's an inspiration for our guests and visitors and those that love the mountain to do something at home, whether it's starting a recycling program if they don't have one, or looking at ways to make their own personal homes a little more energy efficient and to reduce our carbon footprint and reduce the impact we have on nature and our environment as a whole. Society, we have, we have a responsibility, and we on the mountain felt that it would be a great opportunity just to showcase that if we can do it at 14,000 feet, then we can all do it in our homes and in our daily lives.
Oh, I get that. Inspiration. That's why you're trying to provide inspiration through a building, which is, an amazing, I guess, architectural goal, right? There's even a video series that you have launched, correct, about these sustainability initiatives. Why? How about you tell us about that, why it came to be, and how people can watch it?
Sure. So the sustainability program is actually, the series is called Our Road to Sustainability. We are a 19-mile drive to the summit of Pikes Peak, so we felt it was quite appropriate. But it allowed us the opportunity to explain first what Living Building Challenge is, and we refer to it as LBC, and what goals or what pedals we're trying to achieve as part of the process, and to do it in a way that everyone can understand in a 2.5-minute video. The program itself is complex, and there's a lot of things that go into each of the performance areas that we're trying to achieve. And we wanted this opportunity just to really provide a little bit of information and education about all of the efforts that we have put into place and what changes our guests can anticipate when they come to visit. One of the big changes that guests are going to see is that in the gift shops, it's going to be no bottled waters. We want to reduce that impact. We'll have the encouragement for recycling, even right down to the trash bins in the food area. There'll be compostables. And so really, again, trying to recycle, reuse, and do our part. So it allows us that 2-minute talk about each of the pedals in the LBC program, just to let guests know all the hard effort that's gone into place and why we're doing it.
Right. So bring your own water containers to the top, and certainly bring them all the time, because very easy now to find places where you can refill them. It's becoming easier and easier. And, that reduces that plastic waste, as you were saying. So if listeners right now want to go for more information, well, after they finish the rest of the show, but where can they go? What website should you direct them to?
Then go to coloradosprings.gov/summit-complex for more information. That'll give them information about our project. They can review all of our newsletters about the project that provides information about all of the aspects of the project, including our sustainability initiatives. And they'll even be able to see the links to our videos, which includes the introduction to our Road to Sustainability videos.
Fantastic. Okay, Sandy, we're going to be checking in with you a little later on. We do need to take a short break. When we come back, though, we'll be speaking to the president of GWWO Architects, Alan Reed, and associate principal of RTA Architects out of Colorado Springs, Mike Riggs, about tackling this project. Talk about the enormity of the challenges facing designing something and building it at the top of a 14er. That's coming up when KRDO's Morning News, or KRDO's Extra, continues. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today, it's not a person or place. It's more of a place. It's more of a place that's going to be one that's going to cement our region in definitely all of the tourist guides worldwide. We're talking about the new Summit Visitor Center that's set to open sometime in June at the top of America's Mountain, Pikes Peak. And we're joined right now by Alan Reed, president of GWWO Architects out of Baltimore, Maryland. And Alan, let me start with you. Why did your firm decide to propose and work on this project?
Thank you. Well, you know, our firm really specializes in the design of interpretive centers, collectively museums, visitor centers, nature centers throughout the country. And we especially love projects that deal with, you know, the history and nature of our country. And I think that Pikes Peak was really the perfect confluence of those two things. So it really was an opportunity that we couldn't pass up.
Alan, how was it different than projects you've done in the past?
Well, as I said, we've designed visitor centers throughout the United States, and I think, in a word, it would be altitude. You know, dealing with over 14,000 feet is a huge challenge. You know, from our perspective, thinking about interpretation, we had to think about how to capitalize on the short amount of time that people are on the peak, because, as you well know, you know, people at that altitude can get altitude sickness in 30 to 45 minutes. So it really was using all the tools in our toolbox to help interpret all those many, many stories that exist about the peak. So we created, you know, we like to say people can choose their own adventure, so they can decide to go to the peak or to the visitor center, where we offer interpretation on all of those different stories.
Fantastic. Well, and Mike Riggs, who's associate principal of Colorado Springs-based RTA Architects, I mean, altitude was no, I guess, big, you know, difference of what you design, I'm sure. But at the same time, there had to be things that motivated your firm to propose on this project. Why did you, and, you know, what makes it different from other work you've done?
Well, you know, being a part of this community, Pikes Peak is certainly a beacon, and, you know, influences all of our daily life. So, you know, the opportunity to, you know, make a positive impact on the community certainly couldn't be passed up. And, you know, when you compare Pikes Peak against anything, really there is no comparison. There's no 14,000 foot reference. So, you know, this really was a science project of the highest nature to us, and how we approach the project. You know, generally we take a sustainability approach on all of our projects, but everything, you know, on this project was certainly unique, whether it's researching all of the materials to weed out, you know, red list materials, which are harmful to the environment, both in their extraction and harvesting, or even to the occupants of the building. Looking at thermal conductance, you know, it's not every day that you get to deal with permafrost and frozen bedrock, or winds in excess of 200 miles an hour, or even, you know, how to navigate a food service environment that's trying to, you know, create donuts at 14,000 feet. Those are all very, very unique challenges.
Right, and you do not want to forget about the donuts. You would have an uproar on your hands if those got left by the wayside. Alan Reed, who's, again, with GWWO Architects. So when the decision was made to go after the Living Building Challenge, did you anticipate the difficulties? And, I mean, really, what point is there of doing it other than bragging rights?
Well, I think one of the things we talked about early, and Sandy touched on this, is, you know, Pikes Peak is arguably the most accessible 14er, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. So, as Sandy said, it was very important, I think, for us to be as sustainable as possible, given the altitude. You know, following through, I think it certainly was very challenging. You know, we dealt with a lot of manufacturers through the process that simply haven't dealt with products at 14,000 feet. And, you know, Mike can talk more about some of the, the pre-assembly that we did. We tried to do as much as we could at the lower altitudes and then take it up the hill. But many, many challenges. I think, yes, we may not have anticipated them all, but I'm really happy that we followed through and are making it happen.
Mike, why don't you weigh in on that? I'm assuming because it's not just, transporting goods up to the top and then construction materials and then working with them, but also, the time involved in doing that, the exposure that those materials might have when they're at the top of the peak, again, being exposed at 14,000 feet to snow, ice, wind, et cetera. So tell us about some of those, strategies you employed.
Sure. The approach really had to, thrive with the environment up there and try not to go against it. A lot of the materials that we evaluated, had to withstand the wind, the thermal cycling, that degradation. So really trying to be robust. Part of being sustainable is creating things that will last. So using those robust materials certainly aided in that, things that could stand up, as Sandy said, for a 100-year building. But we also looked at, all the pieces that as they come together and trying to reduce our energy use and how every piece kind of contributed to that element of really driving down energy savings, water savings. Everything up there, every little bit of savings that you have is amplified versus the luxuries that we have even at lower elevations of 6,000 feet. So trying to pursue that up there, every little bit of savings, every little bit of extra insulation, every little bit of material durability and harvesting of whether that's solar energy down into the lobby and using thermal mass, all of those were strategies that helped, the pursuit of the sustainable design. We're going to be the first system that really comes online with a integrated water treatment system for beneficial reuse for using reclaimed water in water closets and urinals. Those are all elements that contribute and were very integral into the design of the project.
So fascinating on that and inspirational, especially, to building industries even when they're not at 14,000 feet, maybe at 6,000 or 8,000 feet. Hopefully people will be getting the message and maybe construction will be getting informed by what's being done atop the summit of Pikes Peak. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be once again joined by Sandy Elliott, Operations Administrator of Pikes Peak America's Mountain. We're talking about the new visitors complex at the top of the mountain and also what makes it so special, its sustainability. That's coming up.
This walkway will wrap all the way around the summit house and connect back over into the main portion of the building, which will give a ADA accessible walkway all the way around the project.
And there you are listening to one snippet from one of the videos that you can see that describes all about the new summit house. And it's can be viewed at coloradosprings.gov/summit complex. Today we are talking about the new visitor center set to open sometime in June, as well as all of the sustainability focus, the achievement of the Living Building Challenge, meeting all of those requirements, the process that was involved in that. And we are joined, we've been talking to Mike Riggs, Associate Principal of RTA Architects, and Alan Reed, President of GWWO Architects. And Mike and Alan, before we get to Sandy, let me ask, when you talk about what having this Living Building Challenge being attained, what does that mean, do you think, to the greater community? Let's start with you, Alan.
Well, I think you mentioned it before. I think it sets a wonderful example about what we can achieve no matter where we build, that we can be sustainable, whatever altitude we're at, wherever we are, whatever environment. And I think that's really important. We're dealing with issues like global warming and many other big issues looking forward. And so I think this is really an important project in that respect.
And Mike, I'm sure you echo those comments. What would you like to add?
Well, yes, I absolutely echo what Alan has said and what's been iterated. This is a project that is extremely unique, and if we can do it here, certainly it's achievable elsewhere in the country and across the globe.
Right, and Sandy Elliott, who's operation administrator, I know that being able to achieve it across the globe for home builders now, for building builders, any kind of construction. But when you're talking about construction at 14,000 feet, what's been the most challenging part of this project?
I'm going to say Mother Nature. Weather has been such a huge impact and a challenge to the project itself. From lightning to high winds and then snow events themselves, they pose a challenge for the activities up on the top. And then there's the altitude and the workers in the altitude. And so, the environmental conditions, I think, really, they kind of trump all of our efforts. And, a lot of good things have gone into place, and the construction and design teams have done great jobs to do their best to mitigate that. But if Mother Nature is not sitting at the table with you, I think she's on opposite sides. It really is a challenge. And so, 3 years of construction, and we've had such varying degrees of weather, lightning events that, years before we never would have seen, and all of a sudden we're seeing a ton of lightning. And what that means is when we had the cranes up there, if there was lightning within a distance from the summit itself, they couldn't use the crane. So when you're trying to put up walls to build a building, you can't use a crane. So, it delayed things. It really pushed the work efforts of the construction team. And then there's snow. Earlier this week, there was a foot of snow on the summit, and it was icy conditions, and so we had weather impacts there because crews couldn't get up, because we want to make sure that they're safe and they get to go up, go to work, and go home every day safely. So I think throughout the entire project, there's always been these little nuances of this one aspect is a challenge this week, but overall, the environment has been the biggest challenge.
And not to mention the workers themselves probably had to deal with a bit of altitude sickness here and there, if not continually. I mean, I'm very susceptible to it, so I would be suffering. We see it every day, Pikes Peak. And so for those of us who live in this community, it's very easy to feel, ownership, connectivity to this majestic mountain that's here in our midst. How did you get the community involved in the process of creating this place?
Early on, even in our design phases, we sought out the community's input. We did community meetings, several of them, asking for their feedback. We presented 4 different design options, had the community tell us what they liked most and what they liked least about each of those, and finally came up with the final design concept. So early on, it's been making sure that those that have this love and respect for the mountain got to provide their input. We wanted to make sure that we are representing America's mountain in a way that also represents what the local community, as well as those that love the mountain across international boundaries, what they love most about it, and making sure that the final design really showcases the best attributes. And quite honestly, our Stuart from RTA said it, you can't out-mountain the mountain. And so the design is very, very much showcases the natural environment and not a big, huge building.
Wow. Yeah, it's something that, really has to not just command that location, but also blend with that location. I mean, you have to do kind of a combination of both, I'm sure. When it comes to what you're looking forward to most about the opening of this place, what are you looking forward to?
I wear 2 different hats on this, as the customer, but also a person who's been involved in the project. And I think the overall thing that I'm looking forward to the most is the new experience. Someone who came up last year or even 30 years ago, come visit us again when the building opens. And it's a whole new experience, from the accessibility standpoint, the entire summit will be ADA accessible. So regardless of a person's abilities, they'll be able to come up and experience everything on the summit. And so there's an interpretive exhibit. We actually have a designated space now, and the exhibits are very exciting, talking about the people, the place, as well as the peak today, and what kind of shapes how our activities are on the mountain, everything from the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb to the Pikes Peak Ascent and Marathon. But it also talks about our sustainability efforts, as well as there's a high altitude research lab that the U.S. Army operates up on the summit and what their goals are. So to be able to tell the story of our history, past, and then present, and how we're shaping the future, I'm excited about those two things and how the interpretive exhibits are very interactive. It's an engaging experience, a huge interpretive touch wall. But the entire project also looks at there's new food items in the dining area. There's new retail items. So it's really a brand new experience from the gate to the summit. And I'm really proud that we're able to offer this after we've operated Pikes Peak since 1948. And to be able to offer something new and something very different and engaging is exciting to me.
Right. I mean, not to knock the former Summit House, but it almost seemed like more of a little bit of a way station. And I remember I would take guests up there, and even on my first visit up there, it almost felt like everyone wanted to do a little bit more, to learn a little bit more, to maybe shop a little bit more, eat a little bit more, and but yet we had exhausted all the options there. So this sounds like it's for people like that who really want to explore and learn more and come away with a sense that they have gained so much in knowledge and appreciation for really what this place represents and really, you know, what the entire Rocky Mountain Range represents, because it's just one of Colorado's many 14ers. So that's what's making me excited about visiting. Sandy, what do you think people should be excited about when they go for their first visit to this?
I think people should be excited just to be able to experience this. I know a lot of folks that live in the community who look at Pikes Peak each day, but they've never actually been there. They've never been to the summit. So whether they're hiking, biking, driving Pikes Peak Highway, or riding the cog, take in the new experience, take in Mother Nature and this dynamic kind of microenvironment that we have to experience what's one of the best things in Colorado and Colorado Springs.
All right. Well, good words there. And we know that the folks out there are going to take that advice. And if you want a little tickler, a little teaser, go to coloradosprings.gov/summitcomplex to find out more, to watch those videos, and to really see what went into the construction of this amazing place. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the architects about what makes this place so special. That's coming up on The Extra.
Right here, which is the kitchen where all the donut magic happens. Here shortly, we'll begin measurements for both the walk-in freezer cooler area. We'll be actually moving the donut machine in. One interesting thing about the donut machine is it's so large, it's 1,500 pounds. So we have to get it through the structure before we finish all the framing of the doors, because it's too big to actually bring into the structure after we've finished all of the construction.
That's just an audio clip from one of the videos that are posted at coloradosprings.gov/summitcomplex. We're talking about the new Pikes Peak Summit Complex, the visitor center that's set to open in June. And certainly a lot of folks very excited about the fact that the donuts will be just the same and maybe even a shorter line for them as they were at the old Summit House. But I didn't even know that it was so complicated to get that donut machine in there. We're bringing in the architects right now. Alan Reed, president of GWWO Architects, and Mike Riggs, associate principal of RTA Architects out of Colorado Springs. Alan, first for you, what are you most proud of about this design?
I think we got it right in the end. Sandy mentioned the community engagement process, and And as we were designing the building, we kept hearing about all of the stories associated with the peak, the majesty of the mountain, the spectacular views, you know, the ability to experience those things individually. And as you know, over the years, the peak had become cluttered and a bit disorganized with multiple buildings and no defined parking or trails that really took away from that experience. And I think by making the building part of the mountain, we were really able to refocus on the mountain and all of the wonder associated with it.
Mike, speaking as the associate principal for RTA Architects, what would you say are you most proud of, and what do you think is the most defining feature of this project?
Sure. You know, I'm most proud of our team. You know, having a piece of architecture and an experience as Alan has and Sandy have described really, you know, takes the dedication of a tremendous amount of people, and the team on this project is tremendously large with various levels of specialties and expertise that has contributed. And for such a diverse group of owners and interactions on the mountain, to be able to really focus on every decision with sustainability in mind, there's a tremendous amount of pride in how that team has come together.
Wow. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
And you were going to say the most defining feature. What would you say is that?
Right. And, you know, Ellen's described several pieces. And to me, a lot of the most defining elements of the building are those hidden elements to the building that the visitors don't necessarily get to interact with, but they make the experience possible. Those are all the things that are under your feet or hidden behind walls and, you know, tucked away in the bowels of the building. You know, the reclaimed water treatment system, you know, the hydronic heating, how we're handling daylight. All of those elements are really what I think help define the building, but hopefully become really background to the visitor experience.
Right. The visitor experience, I know, is going to hinge on those views, and you've showcased a number of them. I think from what I've seen of the videos that you have posted at the website, coloradosprings.gov/summitcomplex, I think that's going to be, for me, the most defining feature, just being able to hang out and view that amazing view, kind of just, you know, telescoped in that interior space. And then, of course, to step out and see it, you know, while facing the elements is also pretty important. Alan, getting back to you, you've been close to this project, obviously, and I'm sure it's going to remain with you for a lifetime. You know, what are you hoping that as visitors take this in the months and years and centuries ahead, or at least a century, we hope it lasts for 100 years, right? What do you hope they take away from their experience with this?
Well, you know, certainly a better appreciation of the history and beauty associated with the mountain. But, you know, I think more importantly, and we've been talking about sustainability here, is that, you know, we can all live in harmony with nature and how important it is to protect and preserve this place, Pikes Peak, and other places like it throughout the country, for, you know, really so that our future generations can experience them and enjoy them.
Right. Very inspiring to hear you talk about that, and really adds another level to the visitor experience. If you would like more information, our listeners, on how to visit the new Pikes Peak Summit Visitor Center, as well as what's in store for you once you get there, once it opens, you can visit coloradosprings.gov/summitcomplex. That's the website to go to. I'd like to thank our guests for today on The Extra, Sandy Elliott, Operations Administrator for Pikes Peak America's Mountain, Alan Reed, President of GWWO Architects, and Mike Riggs with RTA Architects, based here in Colorado Springs. Gentlemen and Sandy, thank you so much for joining us on The Extra.